and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today on this Friday. And I'm Ray Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay Eric Taylor, and I'm glad I'm not a running back. So listen, if you want to join us on the excursion, give us a call, 718-664-9098. We're going to have big fun on a big show. Ray will tell you all about it, but tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today. Like us on Facebook. Email us. We love getting your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com or at gmail.com. And also check out our website, man. Crazy interactive. We've got stuff about the draft, and obviously we'll give you the draft results when it's done, and just a lot of tidbits and old episodes and old shows. You can check out our show with Coach David Shaw, who's on the NFL Network. That was a great episode, and listen to that at rayandtaytoday.com. RAEANDTAYtoday.com. Ray, let them know, man.
We have an action-packed show for you today. We had the first round of the draft, so we're going to talk a lot about that. We've got some basketball. We've got some breaking news. We got a lot. So we'll bring you, like we always do, hot off the presses, what's happening in the world of sports with the breaking news. We'll go through the NFL draft round one. We'll talk about tonight, rounds two and three of this NFL draft. And like Tay said, no running back selected for the first time in a long time.
Since 1963, right? That's wow.
Crazy. One quarterback and no running back selected, two wide receivers in the first round. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll get into the NBA playoffs. And, wow, it might look a lot different when we tell you what's going on in breaking news. The Western Conference might have a new champion. And then at the end, we'll bring you one of our favorite segments, You're Not Ready. So Ray and Tay will bring you a couple of people or teams that you're not ready for. And we're going to take you through the world of football and baseball. So let them know what's happening in breaking news.
Well, listen, hot off the presses, your boy Aaron Rodgers has just reached an extension. We're waiting for the years and the money. But kudos to the Packers. They took care of Clay Matthews. Now they've taken care of Aaron Rodgers, who had Geno Smith's back last night, with the tweet telling him, hey, hang in there, be patient, because, good things come to those who wait. So Aaron Rodgers is a very, very wealthy man. There's rumors that it might be $60 million guaranteed. Either way, you're going to know that he is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So it's well deserved. And, without question. And, I guess really in football, it's just about, we'll talk about it at the draft, like there's rumors about guys moving up and trading when Manti and these guys will go and yada, yada. But we'll get into it. Why don't you tell them about the NBA? We got an injury, Ray.
Well, the breaking news in the NBA is that Russell Westbrook is out indefinitely. So hopefully it's not serious. It's a meniscus injury, which can be 2 to 4 weeks on the, on the low end.
Best side,
on the high end, it might be 6 weeks. So six weeks brings
him. Six to eight.
That basically means his playoffs are over. So if it's 2 to 4 weeks, if they can advance, that means he'll be coming back at the end of the next round, maybe in the conference championship. And who knows how well he'll play and what will happen to his game. But, yeah, that's a tough blow in the first round of the playoffs to lose your point guard.
It's real tough. And, we were talking about it off air. I mean, he could be the most difficult player to replace in the NBA because – the defense, he does get you some assists, but the way he scores and how he does it, he takes, both of them, about him and Durant, 25 shots a game. So how do you replace that? And with Reggie Jackson and Derek Fisher, I just don't know what they're going to do in terms of, you can't really replace Russell Westbrook. And he's getting a lot of love from people like Kevin Love, sending out tweets to him, his old teammate, and just mad people. You just hate to see these injuries go down,
Especially
in the playoffs. So we know that your boy, or Barry Larkin's boy, Shane Larkin, is going from the University of Miami, the Hurricanes. He's going to the NBA. What do you think about that?
Sophomore.
He declared.
I'm always for people staying, especially if you're not a guaranteed top five pick. I mean,
he's
this
not.
Kid might be 10 to 20.
Yeah.
I guess, but his father's a professional, though, so he's a rare exception that he doesn't need the money, and he knows what living the professional life is. So he's not some kid who is going to get starstruck. I mean, he was around, you know,
the greatest of the greats.
Right, the greatest of the greats. They tell the funny story about Shane Larkin that, you know, one day he was in 5 or 6 years old. He shows up to a Little League game, and apparently just before he was getting – batting tips from Tony Perez, and Tony Perez had that funky swing, and he shows up, and the coach is like, "Who told you how to swing? Your swing is terrible." And since then, he never
wanted to play again.
Right, he never wanted to play again. He never swung a bat since then. That just tells you how psychologically people can get affected. I mean, I'm sure he'd be an excellent baseball player if he put his mind to it.
Okay.
So he's leaving, but Doug McDermott and C.J. Fair are both coming back. So two juniors coming back for their senior year. So that's good to see. I like to see folks that aren't guaranteed, you know, top 10 picks in the draft coming back, work on their game. This draft next year should be really special. I mean, if you're loading up for all you GMs out there, and we're trying to get Billy King on our show, for all you GMs out there in basketball, load up on the 2014 draft because the guys coming back plus these freshmen, a couple of them might end up being super, super freshmen. This might be a great draft in 2014.
I'd have to agree. I would definitely have to agree. And, you know, we'll have to see how it all breaks down. I think it's interesting, you know, that I thought for sure Doug McDermott would go out, so I'm glad that he's staying. But, you know, you just never know what's in a kid's mind or, you know, what advice he's getting. So it's nice to see when and certain kids, you know, say, hey, you know what, I'm going to stay, you know. So what's going on in Yankee land? I know this, your boy Bud Selig has just turned down an extension. I guess they didn't offer him enough money to stay on as commissioner. So we'll see what happens with that. But what's going on with our boy Jeter, man? Let him know.
Oh, Jeter, you know what? Jeter is out indefinitely. And the Yankees and Jeter made a mistake of saying he'll be back for opening day. And I don't know if the doctor signed off on it or if that was on the aggressive side, but he re-broke a bone in his ankle, and now they're being very quiet and mum's the word on Jeter. But he claims that he'll be back before the end of the year. But at this point, just get yourself healthy, man. You don't have that many more years. So especially an ankle, especially a bone and an ankle.
He'll be back with A-Rod in August, maybe.
Well, yeah, A-Rod's got two bad hips, and but Jeter's ankles, man, I don't know. Hopefully the bone has to heal, and we'll see. I'm pretty much written this season off for Jeter. So we'll see if he does come back, and if he does, if he's the Jeter of you know, 2 years ago when people thought his career was over, or is the Jeter of last year or – last couple of years, actually, when he's been playing pretty well. So
yeah, that's it's sad. Well, let's get into it, man. Let's get into last night, the news of the day, the world. It's everywhere. Two networks. I think that's what's pretty incredible, right? Now that the NFL Network is around, it used to just be ESPN, but two networks covering the draft in its entirety. So that's pretty impressive. Congrats to Eric Fisher, Central Michigan, the number one pick, left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll start there. I mean, you could have thrown a coin, but I just, you know, they said that they thought he's a little bit better athlete and a little bit more big, you know, big nasty in him. So they get their guy, man.
Well, the thing that was crazy to me is that 1, 2, and 4 are offensive tackles. So right or left tackle in the pro, but tackles. Who would have thought this league has become a pretty amazing? It's about passers. It's about protecting the passers.
And
it's
sacking
about
the
pass. Defending the pass and catching the pass, probably in that order. So,
well, and sacking the pass, yeah.
Yeah, attacking the passer, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, in this draft, 1, 2, and 4. I mean, we'll get into the specifics, but 1, 2, and 4 are tackles. And then after that, you had 3 is a rush linebacker, 5 is a defensive end, 6 is a sort of hybrid defensive end tackle. And then you've got a guard, and then you've got a receiver, and then you got a cornerback, and then a guard, and then a tackle again. So you're basically talking about a bunch of offensive linemen and a couple of pass rushers and a cornerback. And that's the top 10 picks in a draft. So, wow.
It's fascinating. It is fascinating. And you know what was interesting? I think a lot of people were shocked. The rumors came late in the day before the draft had started that the Raiders might trade down. Well, the Raiders trade down to the Dolphins. One of our favorite callers, Hank's team, our boy Hank's team. But we're thinking at 3, okay, they're going to come up and maybe they get Lane Johnson because they need a left tackle. And they have not been able to negotiate the trade with the Chiefs for Brandon Albert. But no, they go ahead and get Deion Jordan from Oregon, the outside linebacker, the pass rusher, who, you know, he's got to recover from his shoulder surgery, and some people say he might be a little undersized, but he's definitely a talent. But that was a shock of the, you know, where the draft started a little bit with a bit of a twist and a shock. And I don't know if I love the pick for Miami. I mean, they definitely need some pass rush, but they do have Cameron Wake. They have some talent. I would have gotten that lineman. But, hey, they still got a chance to get this trade done. Hopefully they get it done with KC. But you got to like the Eagles with Lane Johnson. Because when you get Lane Johnson, they can move their right tackle into the guard, and then now they've just basically got great at 3 positions because, you know, Peters comes back healthy, and they have 4 out of their 5 offensive linemen coming back off of injury. So, you know, for the new Chip Kelly system of, you know, having athletic, quick, you know, linemen because of the system and the speed that he runs, Lane Johnson's perfect for the Eagles.
Well, you know what's amazing about this kid, Lane Johnson, is 2 or 3 years ago, he himself was playing quarterback. That's a first, an offensive lineman that was 2 years ago playing quarterback, not, you know, 15 years ago, but 2 years ago he himself.
What an
was
athlete, right? They said he played tight end. I mean, this guy did everything.
They said that it's the first time in history where a quarterback or an offensive lineman can really empathize with the quarterback and be like, yeah, you know, I'll protect your blind side because I know what it's like to get hit and to get drilled by a defensive end, you know? So
yeah,
Lane Johnson
awesome.
Is a great pick. Look, at 4, so Miami goes up and gets their guy, Deion Jordan. They must have thought that Chip Kelly, either that Chip Kelly was going to take him at 4 or that
right.
somebody in that 5, 6, 7 range was going to take him. You know, again, this league has become about passing the rushing the quarterback, and pass rush is at a premium. So if you believe that Deion Jordan is the truth, then
you got to go get him, man.
You're not going to get him where you were originally. So go up and get him.
No, definitely not at 12.
So,
yeah.
So if he's the next Jason Taylor, you know, kind of that thin, not as bulky pass, you know, rush linebacker, or you know, so it depends if you play a 3-4 or 4-3 over the next 10 years. But if you think he's your guy for 10 years, then you know what? Take a chance. I don't hate it, and it only cost them a 42, which. You know, look at what New England got to get out of the first round. You know, they got a whole
incredible
bunch of
difference.
Picks.
They got 3 picks, yeah.
Yeah, so you know what? It didn't cost them that much. And if Deion Jordan turns out to be the man, then go for it. I mean, I like making – if you're going to make an error, go for a guy you think is going to be an impact player, and they obviously think he is. So, wait,
yeah.
Speak of the devil, I think we got our guy. I think we got our number one Dolphin fan, Hank, calling in on the line. Is this Big Hank?
What's up, y'all? How you doing?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
good, man? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you ready to kill your GM? What's going on?
Well, I think you guys have heard me before saying that, you know, this is a GM that's doing whatever he can to keep his job, right? I mean, that's how I look at it. I actually was pretty shocked. For the only reason is, did he really think that this guy is that special that you had to trade up and get him as a pass rusher? Because I mean, look, he's only like he's only 225 or something like that. He's a kind of really the narrow dude, right? So for a guy who literally is going to be there as like a pass rushing specialist, he doesn't seem to be big enough to stop the run.
They list him at 6'6", 250, 248.
Yeah, he's got the size to him.
He didn't look 250 to me. He didn't look 250 to me, but he's not known as a complete linebacker. So I'm like, on the one hand, as a Dolphins fan, I have to say, okay, you just have to trust the GM and say the GM knows what he's doing. But this GM is not known for drafting well. He's just not.
No, definitely
not. So I'm a little worried, because we do have some other holes, particularly at tackle, that, are going to have to get solved. And, everybody's saying that, they're going to make the trade with Kansas City. But remember, this is a guy who basically on Kansas City was going to get moved to right tackle, and he didn't want to do it. Right?
They franchised him as a left tackle. And he's a good player.
That's what he played last year, right?
Yeah, but Hank's right, though, knowing full well that they were probably going to take a left tackle and move him to the right side,
and he didn't want to do it. So I'm like, okay, if KC didn't want to play him at left tackle, then why do we?
I wouldn't worry about that. I think your tackle position is so null and void that he's going to be a good left tackle for you guys. I think you're not going to get somebody in the draft, and there's very few like veteran left tackles just sitting out there, at Starbucks.
Well, there's quite a few of them. I mean,
Seriously.
Jason Peters is what? I mean, he was hurt last year, right?
Yeah, but he's still with the Eagles.
He's not going to be playing left tackle.
Yeah, he's going to be their left tackle, and the right tackle is the kid that just drafted, Eric Fisher, because he's versatile.
So this kid, Eric Fisher, is going to be a right tackle, huh? That's
well, probably for a couple years, and then eventually.
Yeah, and then he'll move over to left tackle. Yeah. And their right tackle will move into guard. That's why it's such a great pick, that's for the Eagles, for Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson can move and play, all over.
Is that the same thing for the Jaguars then?
I think Luke Jokel's going to play left tackle for the Jaguars.
Okay. I thought the guy they had was pretty good too, but he was in the last year of his contract.
My point is,
I'm concerned that we're getting locked into a guy who's, who granted has played well in the past, but is not a left tackle, right? So we should have got one. If you're going to trade and make picks, we should have got one.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a mistake. I think, to me, Lane Johnson has got such a great upside. Some people like him better than Fisher and Jokel, and I think you should have traded up to get him.
And to trade up because you were afraid that, I guess what, Detroit, looking at those teams, that you were afraid that Detroit was going to take your pass rusher, I mean, this guy better be fucking good. And all I'm saying is our GM is not known for drafting well. We can go back and look at the Teddy Ginns and all that other shit. It's the same guy. Okay.
Well, look, saying is at 12, where you were sitting at 12, you weren't going to get one of the top six or seven, quote-unquote impact players. So it really comes down to two players. Moving up, I'm okay with moving up, but it really comes down to Deion Jordan or Lane Johnson. So that's going to be the big question. Yeah. Did you trade up? And I don't mind giving up the second round pick if you're getting a top six impact player. So those two for Miami fans are going to be the two guys that they'll track. Deion Jordan, the guy you got, Lane Johnson, the guy you could have got.
And again, we did this for an outside linebacker who, from what I'm reading anyways, is a situational pass rusher, right? The guy's not Lawrence Taylor, right?
Not many people are.
My point is,
do you do that for a situational pass rusher? It depends.
Do you
trade up to the third pick in a draft for a situational pass rusher?
They think he can get to the quarterback.
In this league, if you can get pressure on the quarterback consistently...
He's got the speed. that's what he has. He's got the speed, and they think that they can develop him to be that guy to go knock Brady out. But how about this? How about this? Remember I told you the night before, I told you Tavon Austin, who some people are saying is the best player in this draft, drafted number 8 by the Rams. The Rams went up and traded with Buffalo,
yeah,
and they got Tavon Austin, and kudos.
Yeah. I think it's
Look, the Rams have no one, right? You've got Givens and Quick. So going to get Austin is good.
I can't get hyped up in the top 10 for a guy who's 5'8", playing in National Football League. I can't.
Well, you know what?
You know,
you and Ray are going to be sending out your apology letters. So when we do our segment in September, I want you to come on the episode.
He's not worth it. I will. If he's Santana Moss, he's still not worth the 8th pick and trading up for.
Yeah. Well, I think actually he could be a little bit better than Santana Moss. But real quick, Hank, before we let you go, how did you love the run of the Bama boys? D. Milner 9. Warmack at 10 and Fluker at 11. That's pretty awesome, right?
Well, here's what that tells you, right? It tells you that offensive line was great, and Manti Te'o couldn't do anything against him, and that's why Manti Te'o's not in the first round.
Amen.
He's played against these guys every week.
That's right. Amen. He's a second round pick, and we'll see when he gets picked today.
Yep.
What time and how late? So, Hank, do you have any predictions? Do you have any predictions of Geno Smith when he'll get picked?
On the one hand, you feel bad about the guy, but I'm like, wait a minute. If he gets picked in the second round, I mean, here's my thing, right? I think maybe, I don't know if this guy is a great quarterback. I don't know if he sucks. But at the end of the day, like, getting picked in the second round is not a big deal, right? Everybody felt so bad for Aaron Rodgers. And then he just signed a contract, and now he's the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history, right? And they felt bad for him because he went down. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he will get his chance to prove that he knows what he's doing, and if he's doing that as a second-round draft pick, it's not the end of the world. You know, I feel somebody told him to show up the first day, and whoever that person is, whether it's his agent or whether he wanted it to do it or whatever,
it's the NFL.
Mistake.
They extended it.
It's the NFL. They invite the players.
Yeah, but
and they do that by
23.
Right.
Yeah,
they do that because GMs are saying we're interested in him. So, they try to invite guys that will be first-round picks.
Yeah, but you don't
and
have to show
they
up.
Just didn't
That's
take
why
them.
Matt Taylor didn't show up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, definitely. And you saw my Steelers, Jarvis Jones. Nice pick at 17.
Yeah,
perfect
for you guys. It's exactly what you needed. And I'm surprised you dropped that load, to be honest.
I am too.
I know you didn't test well on the combine, but you
got to go to the tape. He was a beast at Georgia. I love it.
Right, and Mike Tomlin will slap that immaturity out of him. So if there's any issues with, on the field, off the field, with a little bit lazy.
Yeah, that's more Ogletree, though. Jones isn't as bad as Ogletree.
I think his tape speaks for himself. So yeah, what a great pickup at 7. What do you think about this? No, we talked about it in the beginning of the show, but one quarterback, no running back, and 2 wide receivers taken in 32 picks.
Well, here's what I think about it. I don't know if it's because the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen were that good, or is it because the quarterbacks and the running backs are that bad?
No, they're that bad. Because these linemen would have been top 10 picks, the 3 tackles, in any draft. But these other guys, they couldn't outtake them.
Because think about it, right? The Jets have no offense, none whatsoever. And they took 2 defensive players. 2 players who actually I think are very good. But these offensive guys must suck for the Jets not to take any of them.
How horrible was the pick of Ray's Dallas Cowboys to trade down and then take Travis Frederick, who Mike Mayock and Mel Kiper Jr. both graded in the 3rd round?
I
don't know.
He's a guard, right? I mean,
center
guard.
Yeah.
So, they definitely needed a guard desperately, and they identified their guy, Jerry's record of drafting people has been sometimes very good and sometimes very bad, so it's kind of mixed. So I'm not willing to say that they made a mistake, but they filled a gaping hole.
It is gaping. I agree. They've got a lot of issues with Doug Free and some of their linemen. But
only
problem is
you
probably could have got them in the second round. You need a safety. I mean, your biggest hole is safety right now. You've got to get a safety.
That's true. So, well, you know who I think the biggest deal in the draft is?
Which one?
It's Trufant from Washington. You heard it here. He's going to be locking cats down.
Right.
He's a good player.
I needed him. Yeah,
he's a little dude.
Eric Reed from LSU is San Francisco's pick at safety that would have gone to the Cowboys had they been looking for a safety. But all along, it was going to be a defensive tackle, they were saying. So they were going to get an offensive lineman if one of them fell, or a tackle.
Right. And guess what? Sharif Floyd was right there, but they said they don't rank him that high. But to me, he works perfect in Monty Kippen's system. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll
I think the Vikings did good. We'll talk about it more. But thanks for calling in, Hank, man. Appreciate it.
You guys take it easy.
Yeah, tune in next week when we got our boy Charles Davis from
reviewing the draft. He'll give out the draft grades on our show. Definitely going to be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. You guys take care. Have a good one.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Hank. So, Ray, I got to say, I was impressed with Cincinnati taking Tyler Eifert. Some people will say, well, wait a minute, you already have Jermaine Grisham. He's been a little banged up, but when you can do what the Patriots do with Hernandez and Gronk, now you've got Grisham, Tyler Eifert, and our man A.J. Green. You just gave your quarterback a real, real shot to have a great year. I think the Bengals are going to be kind of deadly. And maybe in this second round, maybe they pick seventh.
Eddie
Lacy.
If they could get Lacy
or Manti Te'o. You know?
Right. They could use that. But think about if they were to get Eddie Lacy, their offense would be set.
To go with Ben Jarvis, that'd be nice.
Yeah, and
that
Zimmer's
would be nice.
Done a good job on that defense. And so... Yeah, if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you got to like that. Is that the new model? I guess the problem is you got to find these two tight ends.
It can't be anybody, right? Yeah, it can't be anybody. But I think this works for them. This really, really works for them because he's such a big target. You know, that's great. I got to tell you, though, I really think that Zach Ertz is probably going to go number two in the second round, right there to the Niners. You know, we know Harbaugh, you know, that's David Shaw's guy, but Harbaugh recruited him, and I think he's going to work perfect replacing Delanie Walker, who moved over to Tennessee. So let me ask you this. You talk about, like, family trees and stuff like that. At number 20, how did you like the Bears' surprise pick of Kyle Long?
That was surprising because everybody thought that the Bears would try to replace Urlacher with Ogletree or Manti Te'o. And they end up going with Kyle Long, who wasn't projected to be this high, to go at 20. Maybe they saw something that we didn't see. Now what's interesting is that he's a big boy, but he was playing in that kind of quick, fast moving, ultra high tempo system that is definitely not what your boy Jay Cutler's running in Chicago, but you know he needs a straight pass rusher and also a downfield blocker for a pretty straightforward running game. So that's not exactly what they ran at Oregon, but we'll see. You know, maybe they had their
Maybe Trestman is changing up the system a little bit, though. I mean, I think that's why the new coach, new system. Maybe that's why they went out and got him.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Bears,
that's a good point. Trestman may have had some influence there on that pick because, any other GM, and historically, that pick would have been on defense. And that pick would have been, a defensive end, maybe an interior tackle or somebody, or a middle linebacker. And they end up getting him a guard. Well, good for Cutler. The quarterbacks are happy, right? The people that are happy in this draft are the quarterbacks, right? We talked about Andy Dalton is probably ecstatic with Tyler Eifert. And you figure Mike Vick is ecstatic with Lane Johnson. And, of course, in Kansas City, the number one overall pick is a lineman. So you got
Blaine Gabbert's happy, too, in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Dr.
So let me
Mansoor.
Ask you this. At number 26, were you a little shocked at Dante Jones?
Well,
from UCLA for the Packers.
I know they need help at defense, but. That's the problem. That Green Bay, you know, they could have gone a lot of ways. You know, again, I think Green Bay has every chance to represent the NFC. They got a few holes to fill, and obviously, you know, losing their top wide receiver and then aging a little bit on defense, and, you know, they need help on the offensive line. So they've got a lot of places where they need help, but, you know, at that pick, who else were you going to pick, right? You figure, look at the players that were taken right after him. So that was DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver, Sylvester Williams, the defensive tackle, Cordell Patterson, the wide receiver from Tennessee, Ogletree,
linebacker from Georgia,
Frederick, the center that the Cowboys we talked about,
and
Elam, the safety. So
they could use a safety, though. Elam could help. And they do need some corner
safety.
Help.
They could use a safety, yeah. I mean, replacing Woodson. But you know what? They also need some beef up front. Take the pressure off the linebackers. Let Clay Matthews run free. So, I didn't see him going that high, but people in the beginning of the year were talking highly of him. So we'll see.
Definitely.
We'll see. I think Jones is a player, though.
Definitely. So let me ask you this. We sort of talked pretty much about the first round, projecting out today, you know, the rest of the draft, but mainly just, you know, today. Let's look at guys. Where do you think Manti Te'o is going to go? I mean, that's where most fans, you know, general fans who are not like NFL crazy people like us, but, you know, there's some people, Notre Dame fans, whatever, they want to know, where is Te'o going to play next year? Who's going to finally draft this kid? Where do you think he's going to go?
It's funny because a lot of teams don't need middle linebackers. I mean, you need depth at
right.
every position, but typically
there's a couple that do. Bears,
yeah,
Vikings. Yeah.
Right. So those were all the teams that were at the end of the first round. So it was Giants, Bears, Vikings, Ravens were the teams that explicitly needed and have shown an interest in inside linebackers. So if you figure that those teams are still in this round, looking
and even the Steelers
for,
could use them too. The Steelers could use the inside linebacker. We're starting to get some age there with Timmons.
Okay. So I think he gets picked in the second round. I think somebody in the first half of the second round either drafts him or they even trade for him. Where are you guys? The Steelers are 16th in this round. Nobody ahead of you really is starving for a middle linebacker, but they might take him as a value pick at this round. Look, I think he's a player. You know, I spoke off air, about this. He's a player. Is he worth a first round pick? A first round pick to me has to be a starter that has a very good chance to be a 10-year player and possibly an All Pro, or at least make the Pro Bowl. A second round pick is a guy you project to be a starter and can give you good, solid years and possibly can make a Pro Bowl or two. So I think Manti Te'o is in that second-round type of prospect, right? He is an NFL football player. Let's not say that the guy has one bad game and now he's not qualified to put a linebacker in the NFL. I mean, the guy was the defensive player of the year in college for a reason. The guy had an outstanding college career, 7 interceptions as a senior. So this guy is a pro prospect.
Definitely. He definitely is. So, well, you've got a couple of teams. I mean, I know we were talking about the Steelers, but there's a shot at 37 that the Bengals could – they'll probably go with a running back or even another corner. But, they could get somebody inside. Buffalo and Tennessee are not so strong in the inside as well. I don't know. I mean, I guess for me, he'll probably, drop down to the mid to late second, and maybe we'll see, I don't think, Minnesota said they're probably not going to trade up. They don't have a second-round pick, but they have 2 threes, so maybe in a third. So we'll see how it plays out. I want to ask you about two other guys, Geno Smith and Matt Barkley. So when we look in just in the beginning of the second round, I mean, Jacksonville, they could maybe get a quarterback. Obviously, the Niners don't need one. The Eagles, that's, you know, sort of the first three picks of the second round. Jacksonville or the Eagles, they could be very interested in a quarterback, and I think they both might like Geno. What do you think about him maybe going early on or even down at 38 Arizona taking? Because you know Bruce Arians, as they call him, B.A., you know, him and then the Jets at 39, they, you know, like to develop quarterbacks. I think Bruce Arians, you know, Carson Palmer is a stopgap. He's still a veteran, pretty old. Cardinals could take a Barkley or Geno Smith right there. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if Geno goes in the first 10 picks of the second round. Between the Bills won't take him, obviously, because they just
they got their guy.
Right, E.J. Manuel, which we didn't really talk about, but, yeah, I'm not quite sold on him. But the Jets, the Cardinals, you know, the Eagles, potentially, if they
Dumb
really
Eagles.
Love him. You know, so I think he doesn't last past the 10, 12, 15 pick in the, you know, in the second round. So I think that Geno Smith, he's got some accuracy issues, but his athletic ability, his arm, his size, I think he is worth a second or third round pick. And because of this premium on the quarterback position, you end up getting drafted higher than maybe your natural ability would project. Just the nature of that position is such that, you know, why not take a chance? And now that they have that sliding scale, you know, rookie salary cap starting in the beginning of the draft, it's not that expensive to take a chance on a quarterback. And you know what? The best thing for Geno Smith, we talked about this, might be to sit for a year. You know, what happened to that? Old school, carry a clipboard, learn the game.
Well, and that's what we think. We both feel that E.J. Manuel will probably do, and I think he is a great talent, and he's just a stud athlete, and he won some big games at Florida State. I think you can't teach what E.J. Manuel has, and I think Doug Marrone is like, you know what, I can shape this guy. I've got Cobb and Jackson to play for the next year or two. My team itself needs to get better all around. We're not going to the Super Bowl, so I can sit this guy for a year, get some more draft picks, and then in 2-3 years, we're ready to make a run where the Patriots and Brady might be getting real old, and we're ready to win the AFC East and try to get to the playoffs in the Super Bowl. So I think Marrone is smart. I think he's looking big picture. And to get an athletic quarterback who's got a pretty high football IQ, they've been saying about the kid. And I remember, and we all remember him at Florida State. I mean, the guy's got raw talent. He's nice. So, you know, athletic, 6'5", he's like 250-something. I mean, he's a big boy. So I think the Bills, even though they traded, you know, down to get him, and took him at 16. Some people might say, oh, well, listen, they didn't take him at 1 or 2. And by trading down, they got more picks, and they still got the guy they want. So I actually think the Bills did a good job, and I think E.J. Manuel is a solid person to develop in the future. You know, I like that move.
Yeah, well, where do you we talked about Eddie Lacy, another guy that's high profile, you know, Alabama running back. And A, do you think he's the first running back? And B, where do you think he goes?
Well, we both know the Jets need a running back, but I think
Jets
the Bengals.
Yeah.
poor Jets, right? It's really just a hot mess. But I will say this: when you look at running backs and you look at these teams that are coming up, the Niners have a bunch of running backs. But guess what? Their main guy, Frank Gore, he's getting old. Kendall Hunter's been injured. LaMichael James is light in the butt. They don't have Brandon Jacobs anymore. So you don't know if the Niners might look at a back. I definitely think Jacksonville should look at a back because Maurice Jones-Drew has been injured, and he's getting older. So you've got Bell from Michigan State, Monty Ball from Wisconsin, Eddie Lacy. There's a couple of backs here that I think are going to go. And there's a couple of teams that need him. We talked about the Bengals. So it's going to be interesting, but I definitely think Eddie Lacy, he's going to go fast. I think he's going to go fast. And let me ask you this. What do you think about the Panthers? I mean, they've got some picks in coming up in the second round. To me, Carolina needs to get some more help for Cam Newton. And I don't know what happened to their running game last year, but all three of their running backs that they have from Tolbert, and the other
Williams,
two guys, D'Angelo Williams and
Stewart.
Yeah, and Jonathan Stewart, none of them did anything. So is it the offensive line?
I think it's the water. There might be something in the water down there where those running backs, you know, maybe it's the Gatorade.
I don't know because the year before they ran the daylights out of the football. So
players, they're all legitimate running backs, and somehow they just last couple years. I don't know if it's because Cam takes the critical third down and the short yardage, carries away from them, but they just, from a fantasy perspective, they kill you. But even from a real football perspective,
they weren't that productive yards per carry
D'Angelo
either.
Williams
so.
had a couple good games at the end of the season, but for the most part, for the last 2 years, these two, and Tolbert had a good year in San Diego, and then comes over there, and you think he's going to deliver, and I don't know what they do. I mean, do they draft another running back? You don't think that those three, are talent enough at the running back position?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think they need some receivers. They need to get some speed. They need to get some
size.
Well,
they got to get a corner. They got rid of Chris Gamble, their best corner. So, to me, they're definitely going to have to look cornerback. I mean, so, to me, I'll be interested to see, where they go. And, look, there's some talent out there for folks that don't know. I mean, we spoke about some of the running backs and quarterbacks, but you still got Menelik Watson from Florida State, the tackle. You got some guys like him. We talk about Mike Glennon, the quarterback, Ryan Nassib. So there's going to be some guys that I got to believe are going to be, flying, even some of the safeties, that are still around. So it's going to be interesting because I like the kid. They were talking about Jonathan Cyprian from Florida International. He's going to go early at safety, and that's somebody that, the Jets could use a safety, or, even on the back end, you look at the Bengals or Jacksonville, So this second round and these moves and these trades, it's all going to be hyped and exciting. We'll be watching. But, we got to talk some hoops, man. The NBA playoffs.
Let's talk about this Russell Westbrook. Let's use that as a transition. I mean, how do you think that affects the West?
I think the Clippers or the Spurs now. I think for the first time, I think the Clippers might have a chance to make it to the NBA Finals. And if they get past the series with Memphis, which, they gave a good fight last night. They lost. They're still up 2-1. I think Memphis will hold service at home. I think it will go 7, and I think the Clippers will win. But I think the Clippers will be able to get past OKC. And the question would be Spurs versus the Clippers. That's going to be, maybe this is the year of the veteran Spurs where they get to, we get to see Miami, this smaller team, go up against historically one of the greatest power forward / centers ever in Tim Duncan, and let the chips fall where they may. That's going to be kind of fun,
right? And remember that LeBron still has a bad taste in his mouth in the 07 series when LeBron got swept
against the big fundamentals.
Yeah, woo,
that could be kind of interesting. Well, listen, you know what? I got to say this. Whether it's Clippers or the Spurs, they both have what it takes, ironically enough, to beat the Heat, where OKC, in my opinion, cannot beat the Heat. So maybe this is better, for those who want to root against the Heat or just for an NBA Finals. Clippers or Spurs, to me, is definitely more of a threat to Miami than OKC is.
Yeah, I can see that. So let's go quickly through the games last night.
Yeah.
I know I jumped
Brooklyn.
In, I jumped the gun.
Is Brooklyn done? Is Brooklyn done? That's what I want to ask you.
I know you
picked the Bulls.
I picked the Bulls even without a healthy Joakim Noah.
Yeah, they split in Brooklyn and then last night.
Brooklyn is missing something. And I don't know if it's because Joe Johnson is hurt and because Darren Williams is hurt, but they're missing something. They have on paper the talent that you need to win. They have the lineup. So, again, I think
76 points.
Great job assembling this team. But for some reason, you see them on the court, and you know, and your boy Brook Lopez has 7 blocks the other game. So
yeah.
It's not like he's playing soft.
But Boozer's eating him alive.
Something. Yeah.
Come on,
like
Boozer, 22-16. Ugh.
I like Tom Thibodeau and any team that he coaches. So
oh, amen
guy,
to that.
Tibbs. So,
yeah, Tibbs,
so to
amen
me,
to that.
Chicago's going to win this series. And you know, I don't know if Chicago gives the Heat a run for the money, but I think they win this series quickly. The Heat, they just blew out the Bucks, and
yeah.
The Bucks just can't compete, and so they'll probably
get
swept.
They're
then,
up 3-0.
You know, we talked
yeah.
a little bit about Clippers Grizz. Do you see this as a 7-game series?
I do. I mean, that's what I predicted. Yeah, I think it's going to go home and home, you know, and they'll play it out. It's just going to be a war. And look at Zebo at home. He's a different guy. And I think, you know, Zach Randolph dropping, 27-11 yesterday? I mean, he's a beast at home. I just think at the end of the day, because of the fact that the Clippers have home court advantage, they'll pull it out. And guess what? At the end of the day, like we saw in game 2, they've got a gentleman called CP3. And that guy right there could be enough to get past Tony Parker and Duncan as well. Just a little, you know, projecting out. But, yeah, in that series, I guess right now we got to look at tonight's series. You know, I think the Knicks might go to Boston and they might steal one. I think Boston is ready to, like, bounce back, and they've played, you know, okay for parts of the game, but then they've played horrible and sometimes in the third or the fourth quarter. And I just think – I don't think they'll muster up enough. They'll have a great first half. The Knicks are going to have to take those blows at the end of the day. I think the Knicks are smelling blood, and I think the Knicks might still win this series. But I think they get this game, and then Boston wins game 4. Maybe I predicted 6. I think the Knicks get them in 5, maybe.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. And what about the Spurs?
Spurs Lakers. The Lakers are done. Get out the brooms. I tweeted it out the other night. I don't think the Lakers without Kobe. I don't think Nash and Blake have it. I don't think they have. I just think it's the wrong coach to get Gasol. Look, Gasol and Bynum together were unstoppable, and Gasol and Howard together at best have been really good, but it's not been consistent really good. So there's something still missing, and I think it's the coaching with D'Antoni working the two of them to their best abilities. And I think the Spurs are too savvy and too smart and pretty versatile. I mean, even though they don't have Steven Jackson, they still got a bunch of different guys, whether it's Danny Green. Without Boris. That's what's so incredible. But see, look, every year in any year, these three guys could get Coach of the Year. Doc Rivers, Thibodeau, and Popovich. Those three guys can coach an AAU team to the NBA Finals. That's how good they are.
Let's bring them up to, like, Rucker Park and just give them each, like, 8-10 guys.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? EBC style, you know, shout out to the EBC and Rucker. Now, for real, though, those three coaches are head and shoulders, you know, and of course, you know, you throw Phil Jackson in there, but he's not coaching. But those three guys are the best coaches in the NBA, and I think they prove it all the time. And then Denver and the Warriors. I got to tell you, Ray, you have Denver, and I have the Warriors. We differ in our, I guess, in, you know, that series and then the Brooklyn and Chicago series, but I do think – look, they're working on Steph Curry's ankle. If his ankle is okay, his little ankle strain, the Warriors coming back home, even without David Lee, if they get game 3, I think the Warriors have a shot to win this series.
Warriors, you think so, even without David Lee?
Yeah, because Denver's banged up too, right? You know, Fareed's not playing at 100%. They've got some injuries as well. I just like the way, look, when Curry and Thompson – which we said, and you, I give you credit, you said it early on in the season, they might be the best shooting backcourt in the NBA and definitely throw them up there in any top 5 of all time. They're nasty. And if they're on, Denver's going down. It's that simple. And, you know, the crowd, the Warriors, the arena, I mean, the Oracle, right? That crowd is crazy.
The O, yeah.
The O.
So I think that I think you're right that this is a series that could go 7 games and it could be a coin flip. I still like Denver. I think that at full strength, Denver's better. I think that definitely without David Lee, Denver's just a little bit better. I should say they're just a little bit better at full strength, and without David Lee and Gallinari, you know, both going down. But I think that I still stick with my Denver pick, and I just think that I'm not sure Golden State can go back to Denver and win. But then again, who knows? With these offensive teams, you know, you never know. You get a hot shooting night, you go 15 for 25 for threes. And then, you know, you're going to win any game. So
yeah.
This is
a
fun
series.
They
just went, and they just won game two there. So.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think they got one, but I don't know that they could go get another one. But we'll see. And it looks like this, you know, this Grizzlies-Clippers series might be a seven-gamer. So that would be great. And if the Nets can get their act together and maybe push Chicago to 6 or 7, that would be great too. But I fear that the Nets are just in the serious trouble.
Yeah, we got a shout out to Ricky Rivers and to our boy Eric Newman, two guys on the show, Boston and Brooklyn. They're both they're fading fast, man. SOS for them boys. They are fading. But you know what I like? I gotta tell you, I like the fact that you can see maybe Miami saying, you know what, we're not playing any games in Milwaukee, even though it was close at a point early last night. Then they just pulled away. I think Miami's smart. They're going to go knock them out and get some rest. And I think Melo drops 40 tonight. I think he goes to Boston and gets a little nasty. I think Melo's going to drop 40 tonight. And the Knicks steal game three.
Okay. Look, the Knicks are favorites. It's not a steal. I think they're
favored. Well, I think it is, because I think Boston, I think traditionally Boston's been so tough, and I think, you know, most NBA insiders, look, a lot of guys are picking, even in ESPN, Bruce Bowen, a whole bunch of other people, a lot of people were picking Boston to maybe win in 6 or 7. So I think, you know, people are thinking Boston might at least split or tie up the series. Well, I think you know, I think that they go ahead and get this game, you know. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So,
okay.
Tell me.
Well, let's do it.
Are you ready? Are you ready for our segment? You're not ready.
You're not ready, okay? Let me just tell you, you're not ready. So, I can start this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about college basketball, about the NFL, and about the NBA. But you know what we didn't talk about on this show, and you're not ready. We didn't talk about baseball, and we didn't talk about old guys. And you know me, I got a warm spot in my heart for old guys, and if they're
and
left-handed, even better. So old lefty to me, like if Chris Mullin were to put on some shorts, or if Don Mattingly would have put his strap, you know, get his bat and get ready.
Ray has officially got the bag of any lefties, and if you're an old lefty, he can grab a bat for you, yo.
Oh, my God. But in any sport. But I think because we neglected baseball a little bit, I got to go to baseball. I got to go to you're not ready in baseball. And this guy's not a lefty, but he's an old guy. And you are not ready, Tay, for Torii, with two I's, Hunter, to lead the American League in hitting.
What?
Torii Hunter, not Mike Trout, not Miguel Cabrera. Not,
you mean Torii Hunter on my fantasy baseball team?
Hamilton, that guy. Now, he's not hitting for much power. He's only got one homer, 10 RBIs, but the guy is hitting 373. He's only a career 278 hitter, but he's hitting 373, and it's been 20 games, so granted it's not 162, but Torii Hunter at age 37, born in 1975, is leading the American League in hitting, and you're not ready for a 37-year-old batting champion through 20 games.
Wow. That's serious right there, and I definitely have to agree. You know, shout out to Torii. Well, for me, I got to go to a team in the cold NFC North. As our boy Chris Berman at ESPN would say, the Norris Division. I love it. Well, who could have been Coach of the Year? He was the Ray and Tay, you know, Coach of the Year. Leslie Frazier, former player, good coach. The Minnesota Vikings. Rick Spielman, a former player, is their GM. At 23, 25, And then they had to get off, and there was a scramble in the building last night. They were doing radio shows, and they had to get rushed off the radio show, the coach and the GM. How funny is that? Because they solidified a trade and came back in the first round to get the 29th pick. 23, Sharif Floyd. I think a steal, a top five talent. People could say, oh, I don't know about production senior year and this and that. I saw him in the SEC. I saw him at Florida. Sharif Floyd as a defensive tackle is a big load and a big boy. I think Minnesota, putting him with Kyle Williams, I think that's a great place. He'll develop. He'll learn. They've got Jared Allen. They've got Robinson. They got Greenaway. I like the Vikings' defense. Smooth. You're also not ready for a 25. They get the big corner. 6'1", almost 6'2", 210, Xavier Rhodes out of Florida State, ACC-type kid, you know what I'm saying, who did big things at corner for them and is going to go up against Megatron and Marshall four times a year. So you need, and the other receivers at Green Bay. So you got to have a nice big-sized corner. Then at 29, Ray, you're not really ready at all for my man, Cordello Patterson.
My
out of
man,
Tennessee.
My memo, did you see what he was wearing? Did what? You see his getup?
He went from the orange to the purple. Volunteer at Tennessee to a Minnesota Viking with some new uniforms at wide receiver. He will replace Percy Harvin. He's not as injury prone as Percy Harvin. I think Leslie Frazier and that locker room is strong, so his little knucklehead stuff won't fly. And I think with AP, Greg Jennings and Patterson, you are not ready for the three first-round picks and the Minnesota Vikings who made the playoffs last year with no receivers and hardly any offense. Well, now you got three starters that are jumping in, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to be on fire next season and definitely ready to challenge for the NFC North division title and definitely, at worst, an NFC wild card again. Ray, you are not ready for their three first-round picks. They got third-round picks later on tonight, no second-round picks. So I like the Vikings. They still got five picks left in this draft. You're not ready for the Minnesota Vikings. Congrats to them for the best. To me, day one, they were the show, Minnesota.
Yeah, good for them, too, because, you know, at the end of the day, especially – at the position he plays, Adrian Peterson doesn't have that long of a shelf life to be an elite running back.
Three more years at best, I bet.
He needs to make it happen while he's still elite. So go for it. You know, go for it. Bring in Greg Jennings. Bring in some high draft picks. Let's make it happen. Jared Allen and then, you know, some guys on that defense are getting older. So let's go. Let's go. Make it sure.
Let's go.
Run for it.
Hey, you know what I got to say, though? We got to send a shout-out to the Texans, man. Before the show ends, DeAndre Hopkins out of Clemson, number 27. I think that was a nice pick to help out Andre Johnson, who's aging, and to give him a real number two because their wide receiver, Posey, got hurt and some of their other guys, you know. So I just want to give them a shout-out to Hopkins. I like that pick, Ray.
Yeah, you know – that's your boy? You like that pick?
Hopkins is good. I think he's talented. You know, I think he's talented. And look, they got to get something. I mean, maybe you take Hunter, right, from Tennessee, or Keenan Allen from Cal. I think those are two guys that will go early today, too. So look out for them. And look out for Robert Woods from USC. Great talent. I like him.
I think Woods is solid. I think his guy, Marquise Lee, next year is going to be the man. But I think Lee is a good, you know, projects as kind of a good number two, number three receiver. But this kid, Keenan Allen, if he can get his head right and if he can be healthy, I mean, he projects as a Tavon Austin type of player that can potentially, you know, make an impact, sort of a Mike Wallace, you know, big, long, speedy guy, you know. I like him, especially if you can pick him up in the second round, third round, right, where you don't have to use a first rounder on him. So risk-adjusted, that's a great pick.
Yeah. Well, listen, great show. We'll be back Monday to review the draft, 5 p.m. Eastern. And then next Thursday, Charles Davis from NFL Network and Fox Football to help give us all the draft grades to sum up everything next Thursday. at 6 p.m. Eastern. So enjoy the weekend, watch the draft, the Knicks, everything. Let's have fun, man.
Yeah, Ray and Tay, have a great weekend. Thanks for spending time with us. We'll see you on Monday.
Peace. Thanks for talking sports with friends.
I listen to Ray and Tay Sports every day.
Yo, this is Papa Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to
Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports. All good. Yeah.
Peace.